What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson. Let's get this started.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This week, we're going to be diving into pretty much the food pyramid, where it comes from, why it is the way it is, and honestly, the crazy history behind it. But first, I want to do a little check-in. So, Tom, what's been going on this week?
So I started doing a new type of training. I'm introducing a HIIT training day. Instead of just doing one type of HIIT training, HIIT training is high intensity interval training, in case you were wondering. So I'm doing a day of that now, once or twice a week, kind of depending on how it falls. So I'm doing 3 sets of box jumps, 3 sets of sprints on the bike, 3 sets of battle ropes. Those are mostly for like chest and shoulders. And then 3 sets of rope climbs for my back. So it's pretty much an entire body workout, explosive training for every body part. The first one went pretty good. I was really sore the next day, so I'm hoping to keep that trend going.
Yeah, that sounds hard.
So what's new with you?
This week I was hoping to have that book, Pure, White, and Deadly, done, but I have a few more chapters left.
That's the John Yutkin book?
It is, yeah. Okay. The book by John Yutkin from like the 70s. Pretty much talking about how sugar's tied into most of the, if not all of the diseases of Western civilization. And I'm still very impressed by it. It's crazy what this guy was onto. Like, he was onto gout, heart disease, diabetes, dementia.
All the major players that everything. Are destroying our health right now.
Yes. Okay. And he was like, and he went into sugar. And he just went into pretty good detail about everything. So the book is very impressive. I'll be writing a review. Most likely I'll put it on Instagram in a couple days. I should have it done. I might even finish it today. And still taking those cold ass showers. And they still kind of suck. I'm not like 100% used to it yet. So it's like a test every day, you know?
I'm sure you're taking quicker showers than if you're just so miserable
fast.
In there.
Yeah. Yes, so fast. Actually, I have a little routine, actually. So I get in, and the water is cold. Like, it's as cold as it'll go. It's all the way to the right. And I get soap on, like, the loofah. I get it all soaped up. I soap up my whole body. And this is while the water's running, like, pretty much on my feet. And then as soon as I'm ready, I turn the water up. It hits my chest. It pretty much takes my breath away for a second. And I do the whole loofah thing one more time, get all the soap off me. And then I'm out, like that. So really, it's a legit, like, a 3-minute thing, you know? But it feels good afterwards, no doubt about it. I like that. I'm still training without shoes on. I actually did train without shoes on a leg day a few days back and felt fine. So I think that's a good sign, you know, just trying to strengthen my feet up. Yeah, this week pretty much just was researching a lot on this podcast, looking into just a crazy history about the guidelines and why really cereals are so prominent in the food guidelines.
All right, so I think we should just jump right into today's topic then.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and start?
All right, so most of this is going to be in response to an article on isupportgary.com. And Gary is Dr. Gary is Fetke?
Fetke, yeah.
Okay. He's Australian.
Surgeon down there.
Australians' guidelines are exact cousins. I mean, they mirror ours completely. So just because it's Australian doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to us. No, they're all exactly the same. And also we'll have a link to this article and then also a link to an interview with Gary Fetke talking about this subject in particular.
Yeah, we'll put it all in the show notes so you guys can actually dive into it if you want to.
So should we, start at the beginning? Start with Ellen G. White?
Yeah, so I always feel crazy talking about this because it sounds so crazy, but Ellen G. White, she was a Seventh-day Adventist, and they're a branch of, is it Catholics?
Christianity.
Christianity in general, yeah. So they're a branch of them, and they promote a vegetarian lifestyle. And this all started in the late 1800s, and this girl, again, Ellen G. White, when she was about 17, she started having visions that pretty much damned meat and promoted the use of grains for our health. And those quotes that you've heard about, like, meat causing cancer and meat causing animalistic tendencies, things we still hear today, those all came from her over 100 years ago.
So a direct quote from that, this is from the year 1890. This is by Ellen G. White. Cancers, tumors, and all inflammatory diseases are largely caused by meat eating. So she just made that up based off of her visions, her dreams where she was speaking to God. There's no way we had the science back then to prove any of those claims. And there was no like studies really being conducted to prove that stuff. There's just no way. We didn't have the manpower. Like, it's just made up, just, hey, I heard this, it sounds good, I'm just gonna speak it. And that would be all fine and good if that didn't become like the backbone of all our guidelines today.
It's so crazy how that quote is over 100 years old and you'll hear it repeated today like it's a scientific fact.
Just a couple weeks ago, I was talking to one of my friends that's a vegetarian, and he was talking about, oh, meat causes cancer. And I'm just like, I don't see how that could be true. And basically, what the guidelines, the way Ellen G. White, the way she influenced the guidelines, is basically what you want to do is stop eating meat and replace your meat with grains. That's pretty much, to summarize it, like, you know, in like one sentence, that's what it means. No more meat, you have to eat processed grains. So cereals are great for you.
Whole wheat, fiber, all those type of things, that's the go-to, according to Ellen G. White.
So let's talk about one of her major backers, best friends. I don't really know how to, what you want to categorize them as. The Kellogg brothers. So I'm sure everybody here knows Kellogg. Today, their brand makes up Frosted Flakes, Cheez-Its, Pop-Tarts, Eggo waffles, you know, all the staples to a healthy diet.
Yes, the staples of a healthy breakfast.
Well, I mean, hey, Cheez-Its, those are lunch, Pop-Tarts, you got dessert, you know, you got your Elf cookies.
I guess they're covering everything.
Yeah, you know, I think all that falls in line with a diabetic and like a heart-healthy diet.
It does, AHA approved.
Yeah, you know, all those foods. They're the ones that had the biggest influence. They made all the money, and they're the ones that really, really had the financial backing to make all this happen, make her visions become a reality.
Yeah, and you might never heard of the term, or I guess the company Sanitarium, but one of Ellen G. White's visions told her to go to Australia and kind of like set up shop. So that's something they did around 1900 or so.
I think it was between 1889 and 1900, somewhere around there. She went over to Australia so that sanatorium company that you were just speaking about, that's Australia's version of Kellogg. One of the Kellogg brothers went there and made that company based off of the company that started in Michigan here.
Yeah, so if you see sanitarium, just think Kellogg's.
Yeah. And they even made it even more diabolical because they started it as the church. So it's a nonprofit organization. The biggest cereal company over there is a nonprofit organization and doesn't pay taxes. So they have an even bigger financial reason to create that company.
Oh, it's so crazy. But they go over there to Australia, they set up shop, and they pretty much run Australia. They control the guidelines, they control the narrative, and that's why Gary Fedke, he actually got in trouble for recommending low-carb, high-fat to his patients. And he's a surgeon, so he's used to cutting off like diabetic toes and taking off legs and all these people who are sick from eating high carbohydrates and specifically processed carbohydrates, something from a company like Sanitarium, the wheat, the cereal, things like that. So he knows that these things cause these conditions. And even though he recommends low-carb, high-fat, which is what we evolved to eat, it's very natural, he got in trouble and he actually got banned from giving any sort of advice to any of his patients. He cannot talk about nutrition at all anymore.
So he can't talk about the best care possible because of these horrible guidelines that were instituted based off of some young girl's visions.
Again, no science backed this up. this girl, this young 17-year-old girl, just woke up one day and was like, you know what? Meat sucks. Meat causes cancer. Meat causes us to be like animals. That's the root of this. That's the foundation of all of this.
Yeah, so the reason that they ban meat is, according to them, eating animals is going to make you more like an animal. So if you want to get rid of your lustful sins and be a better Christian, a better follower of God, get rid of all your like human earthly urges, no more sexual urges, anything like that, you have to stop eating animals and replace those animals with the products that they have a lot of money, ties, and financial backing to.
Yes.
Their grains.
Actually, this is a quote from Ellen G. White. Grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables constitute the diet chosen for us by our Creator. And a religious life can be more successfully gained and maintained if meat is discarded. For this diet stimulates into intense activity lustful propensities and enfeebles the moral and spiritual nature. Again, that's not scientific. That's not like, oh, meat causes cancer. No, this is just honestly some crazy young girl talking madness.
Yeah, so I mean, by her logic, eating animals turns you into an animal. So eating blueberries is going to turn you blue.
Yes. Follow that logic down the rabbit hole. Yeah.
So, I mean, does that make like eating walnuts, that's going to make you nuts? Like, I'm not really following along this logic too well.
Yeah. It's hard to follow the logic here.
And again, this is just based off of, I don't even know if I want to call them visions because it seems like they made a lot of money off of this. So, I have no idea where this really came from. And Christians have been eating fish, cows, like, they eat meat. That's not a... God never preached that. I've been searching through to find, like, Bible quotes. And all Bible quotes say is eating fish, eating meat is okay. So I don't really know why people follow this advice. Like, I just...
Yeah, like, really,
I was
kind of
just speechless on this. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah. They were the real foundations of dietitians. And do you want to talk about that?
So basically in 1917 is when our food guidelines appeared. We were the first ones to do that. In 1935, Canada followed us. And dietitians, that was never a career. That was never a thing. That originated about the same time as our dietary guidelines came out. And that also seems to correlate pretty well when all these metabolic diseases that were never an issue before started popping up too. Kind of funny how that all ties together.
It is, yeah. As soon as everyone started promoting vegetables and grains 24/7, that's when diseases like heart disease, dementia, diabetes, even obesity is through the roof.
We have changed our guidelines sort of, but it's still very, very vegetarian based. I mean, even today, so like the current guidelines are MyPlate. So if you look at the MyPlate website, a quarter of it is fruits, a quarter of it is vegetables, a quarter of it is grains, and a quarter is protein. So not even meat, it just says protein. I don't know what protein means other than meat, unless you're like, you got a scoop of soy protein powder on your plate.
I was going to say, they put that there for soy.
Yeah, like, I don't really know what that's supposed to mean, but, like, wouldn't that be a vegetable or a grain? Wouldn't that fall somewhere on there?
Yeah, and also, just a touch on soy a little bit, a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is pretty much the main backer of soy. Again, this was in the early 1900s. He came back from China, or actually, it might have been Japan, but somewhere over there in Asia, and started pushing soy to help fulfill Ellen G. White's dreams. He was like, oh, they're trying to prove her right. And they thought soy was going to be, again, like a godsend because it has a higher protein value than, let's say, wheat does. And I totally disregard the fact that soy is a natural fertilizer and soy is full of anti-nutrients and soy is pretty much straight poison. But if you process it enough, you can get a little bit of protein out of it. But they weren't worried about that. They were worried about proving Ellen G. White right. That's all they cared about.
So there's a couple, protein is a major deficiency with this type of diet. That's why you're never going to hear us promoting it. Another very, very essential nutrient that it's lacking is vitamin B12. You do not need to eat meat to get vitamin B12. There are other sources. But they're not promoting those other sources. Those other sources come in the form of mushrooms. But I don't see mushrooms on here. Mushrooms aren't a fruit, not a vegetable, not a grain, and not a protein. So if they are going to promote this crazy type of diet that's supposed to be balanced, balance it out.
Oh, yeah, but they don't care about balance. They're trying to... Well, I think, honestly, maybe when this first started, they had good intentions. They wanted people to be healthy. They wanted people to eat right. They wanted people to live a more godly life. And, you know, more power to them. You know, I'm sure a lot of Seventh-day Adventist people out there are nice, well-meaning people. But nowadays, the food industry is making a ton of money. Specifically, the Seventh-day Adventists are making a ton of money with processed food. So all these good intentions, you know, of 100 years ago have been taken over by people making a lot of money off of selling people garbage food. You know how much money it costs to make a granola bar? Pennies. You know how much you pay for it? $5. They're making a killing off it. So maybe they had good intentions back in the day, but I think now, especially the people at the top of the organization, they're worried about their profits more than the message of their quote-unquote leader and early disciples.
So one thing we were talking about last week is just about how like grass-fed cows are great for our planet, and we should be promoting proper raising of cattle more. One of the easiest ways to do that would be stop growing all this wheat and grow grass in its place, because grass can grow there, and let cows do their thing, turning grass into meat, and then we could eat the meat because we can't eat the grass. That's what cows are there for. They're just machines that turn grass into food.
Exactly. And perfectly healthy food for humans. And honestly, I don't know. Can you think of any reason to eat wheat?
I mean, if you're starving, I don't know. S'mores taste pretty good. Like, you know, graham crackers, hard to replace that.
That's true.
I can think of taste reasons, but I mean, health reasons, there aren't any. And the only vitamins that you're getting from enriched wheat is because it's enriched. They had to add vitamins to it to make it so like you're getting anything from it. There's nothing essential about wheat bread or any other sort of grain. There's nothing essential about it.
No, nothing at all. And honestly, if you tried to go out there and live on nothing but wheat, you would die real quick. There's so many things lacking in that. And not to mention all the anti-nutrients that are in wheat. We talked about that in previous podcasts with things like lectins.
So gluten, everybody fears the G word gluten. That's grains. That's pretty much where you're going to be getting it from. Like, that's the number one anti-nutrient that everybody's aware of. So if you know gluten's bad, everybody knows that by now. Yeah, avoid grains.
That's oatmeal, that's bread, all that.
If you're trying to get fat, go for grains. They're great. They're going to make you get fat.
Yeah, they make cows fat.
Yeah, that's why we use them. So, like, there is a place for them. Should they be grown everywhere? No. I mean, unless we just want a fat, sick, like, population.
And no topsoil.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're doing a great job at that. They're doing a great job of making our country fat. It's hard to walk through them all without seeing a bunch of people that you know are just eating way too much processed
food. And people think, you know, well, who cares what the government says? Like, it's just a guideline. No one actually pays attention to this stuff. But since these guidelines have been put into place, people have listened to them. Meat consumption is down. Obviously, grain consumption is up. And with that trend, we see more obesity, more diabetes, more heart disease. All these diseases have gone up, even though people are listening to these guidelines.
Not to mention, like, science has increased a lot in the last 100 years. So we have a lot of advances in medicine. But we haven't advanced our nutritional guidelines at all. We keep moving backwards. We keep trying to fit this round peg into a square hole, and it's just not working. We need to stop promoting the same diet over and over and over again that's making everybody fat and sick.
Exactly. The foundation is weak from day one. It's made of sand. So we need to just make a clear plate and just completely rewrite the history.
Like, honestly, the main place that this is an issue is that there are more than just guidelines. If you go to a hospital, you're not able to control your food while you're there. Do you know what they're going to give you? The MyPlate.
Exactly. That's such a good point.
So they're more than just guidelines. They are laws in certain areas. So, I mean, just kind of like good luck trying to escape this. Because at some point you're going to be in a hospital. your wife's going to be in a hospital, somebody that you know or love is going to be in a hospital, and you're going to be forced to eat this type of quote-unquote healthy diet.
When you're at your lowest point, when you're sick, when you're injured, they're going to give you this crap processed food and expect your body to heal. It makes no sense.
You'd be better off just fasting.
100%. You'd be better off fasting. But again, that goes into even a deeper conspiracy hole that hospitals only make money off return customers. They make money when we're sick. Pharmaceutical companies, all that stuff. If you're healthy till you're 95, never get sick, never get injured, you're not a customer for pharmaceutical companies. You're not a customer for hospitals.
Yeah, so Loma Linda University is the university that was created by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They are in Southern California. I'm not quite sure what city. I know I've driven past there, so I should know this. I used to live down there. But they're the ones that are responsible for promoting this type of diet. They are the second largest educator in the world behind the Catholic Church.
And so, let that sink in. The second largest educator in the world is a church promoting a vegetarian lifestyle based off a 17-year-old's vision in the late 1800s. Crazy.
I don't know how this was sticking. I mean, if this came out 200 years earlier, it would have been part of the Salem witch trials and would not have been a thing. Like, this shouldn't have been able to get all the weight that it did.
Yeah, and Loma Linda, they're one of the huge reasons why everyone thinks, like, if I were just to ask you, and obviously you're not the guy to ask, but you think vegetarians live longer.
Compared to people on the standard American diet, yes, basically compared to the rest of the world, yes, that's true, but there's a lot of things that go into their diet other than just eating a vegetarian diet.
Exactly. It's called a healthy user bias, and other ideas pushed by Seventh-day Adventists are actually great. No drinking, no smoking, being part of a community, exercising, all these things are great for your health. It's not just that they don't eat meat while they live longer, it's these other things. But again, they don't live longer. That's not actually true. Vegetarians don't live longer if you compare other people in similar categories, like Mormons. Mormons, you know, they promote some of the similar things. No drinking, no smoking, being part of a community. But they incorporate meat into their diet, and they live longer than Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah, if you give me money, I will find the results that you're looking for. It's not very hard to do. So that's basically all they're doing, is just confirming the results that they want to find. They're researching themselves, so there's already a lot of bias going on with that alone. They're finding the results that they want to find. I mean, it's kind of crazy that the results back the message that they're preaching. There's just so much bias that goes into it, but it doesn't really seem to make a difference because everybody's following those guidelines.
Yeah, that's something actually Gary Vedke touches on a lot, is that nobody is declaring their bias. And they should. Loma Linda University promotes these studies where they cite their old studies about vegetarianism and how they're healthier and it's good for this, it's good for that, without saying that they're an arm of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, without saying that being vegetarian is part of their belief system. It's not just a diet for them. They wake up, they breathe this shit 24/7. That is a huge bias. Of course, they're going to have studies where it proves that their lifestyle, their way of living, is healthy. Because if they didn't, their whole lifestyle would crumble.
And not to mention all the money that they have off of us doing that. How big is Kellogg's?
I mean, huge.
I didn't realize that Kellogg's was Cheez-Its and Eggos.
Me either.
Pop-Tarts? I mean, come on. Those are some of the biggest snacks, breakfast foods. Like, try escaping those. I don't think you really can.
Yeah, they have big food, obviously big sugar backing them up. And it's honestly one of the reasons why we both started this, is we need more people talking about this. Now, of course, we're not as big as them, never will be, but we need more people bringing this type of stuff to light. So at least the people in our lives can know that this stuff that they think they know, that they've been told their whole lives, that their parents have been told their whole lives, was never true.
Just based off the visions of a teenage girl.
Yes, and please look into that. Please click the links that are in the description, all that, and dive into this. It'll make your head spin. It did for me the first time I did it, that's for sure.
Yeah, honestly, like, I didn't really believe it. I was like, this sounds way too conspiracy theory. Like, I can't really get into this. But the more and more you stay in this kind of, this ancestral health area, this message keeps popping up over and over and over again. So yeah, if I hear stuff from multiple sources and it makes sense, like, if you take a couple steps back and you think about it, it's like, okay, yeah, that totally makes sense. I mean, how long did it take for us to prove that cigarettes were bad?
Long time.
Yeah, I mean, like, my parents were alive when it was okay to be smoking in not only an airplane, but smoking in a doctor's office.
In a hospital, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on, that's not that long ago. So, like, there's still a lot of areas that we can improve upon. And I don't really want to preach one specific diet for everybody, because there is a little bit of bioavailability, I mean, bio-individuality. We are all the same species, though, so having a vegetarian diet and having a carnivore diet and saying that both of those are equal and that we can survive off of both of those is just completely ridiculous. I can't imagine that this pack of lions only eats meat, but this pack of lions over here only eats grass, and they are equal. Like, no, that doesn't make sense. We wouldn't make that comparison with any other animal. So we shouldn't be making that with ourselves.
Exactly. And, I mean, I hate to say, it's something my father says a lot. It's just live and let live. You know, like, hey, man, if they want to be vegetarians, let them be vegetarians. If they want to be vegans, let them be vegans. But the more I learn about this, the more I... Honestly, I'm not agreeing with that anymore. Because the narrative that they're pushing is destroying the planet. It's destroying our soil. It's destroying our environment, the atmosphere, all this stuff. And that's a price that we're all going to have to pay as a community. Not just them, not just the people actually doing the damage. We're going to have to pay for it when gasoline prices is through the roof, energy prices through the roof, or God forbid some sort of natural disaster happens that affects you in your area. You know, things like flooding, tornadoes, tsunamis, all those things, earthquakes, those all tie into the health of the entire planet. So they're writing a check that we're all going to have to cash. So we need to get this message out there that what they're promoting just simply isn't right.
Yeah, and it'd be one thing if they were just preaching that message and they just that church was using it. But that's not what has happened. They've influenced our entire country, Canada, Australia. I mean, most countries follow our guidelines.
Damn near everybody follows us. Everyone takes America's lead.
Yeah, so it's... And pretty much any sort of... like school, prisons, hospitals, they're going to follow that. So we want our kids to be healthy. We don't want them eating the My Plate diet. We don't want them eating a vegetarian-based diet. Like, that's not what we've lived off of. That's basically what they're saying is cavemen that evolved into us were wrong, and what they really should have been doing instead of hunting is they should have been spending all their time growing wheat and then figuring out a way to make that wheat into bread. And then eating that bread.
So, and that is exactly what they're saying.
That is what God intended for us to do.
Humans wouldn't be here. We would have died out. Trust me. But again, people, I've talked about it before, but all of human evolution has occurred in an ice age. And technically, we're still in an ice age today, just more temperate. But from the North Poles all the way down to North America was permafrost for the last 2 million years. Actually, even more, 3, 4 million years. And what permafrost is, it's like frozen ground. So the ground is as hard as concrete. Now, we don't have huge tractors and machines that can till the floor back then, so we had to do it with our own hands and our own tools. So how in the hell were we supposed to till anything? How the hell are we supposed to dig up some tubers when the ground is as hard as concrete all the time? This ice age, it was 24/7 cold. It wasn't like, oh, July was hot as shit. No, it was cold as shit all the time. We had to rely on meat. We had to rely on seasonal things that happened above ground. But there was no way we could have even planted wheat and lived off that throughout our entire history.
Yeah, and that's what this church is promoting. They're not promoting fruits and vegetables and nuts is what we should be living on. No, they're saying that the majority of our diet should be coming from grains. There's just no way we could have possibly done that. That's just completely ridiculous. Yeah, we can do that today. But this is the only time.
Very unique, our situation today.
Yeah, it's the only time that we can do this. And the only reason we're able to do this is because we started following their guidelines, and they made enough money off of us following their guidelines, so now they can mass produce everything. You can get cornflakes any time out of the year. You can get Eggo waffles anytime you want. Like, yeah, they're able, they built a gigantic empire, like a processed food empire off of this.
They did. And, you know, it's not, if you want to promote, you know, fruits, vegetables, grains as your diet, and you think that's good as long as you supplement with the right things and all those type of stuff, go ahead, you know, whatever. But it's the other side, there's a second side of that coin where they say meat is bad. That's where I'm like, no, like, you went too far. Because you have no ground to stand on with that argument. Nobody does.
I don't really have much of an issue with them promoting this. I just have a problem with how much power they have.
Too much.
Because this was true at my college. I'm sure this was true at your college, too. You'd have people walking through the campus shouting all sorts of crazy things all the time.
Oh, yeah. Poster boards. It works.
Yeah. Go ahead. Share whatever message.
Do your thing.
That doesn't have any impact on me other than I have to walk past a crazy person. Not a big deal. No big deal. But if this is influencing the way that I have to eat while I'm at school, the way that our children have to eat when they're in school, the way any of us have to eat when we're in a hospital. Like, yeah, now you have a major impact, and you should, nobody should have this big of an impact, especially when they're just preaching the wrong message, and we have so much evidence to show that it's wrong. Not to mention just common sense.
It really, again, you don't have to be, like, we have degrees in science, we both went to college, and we were about this life, right? We read articles every day, we listen to podcasts every day about this stuff, so we might know a little bit more than the average person. But you don't need to be particularly educated just to put this shit together.
Oh, this is what I learned in school. This is what I got my degree in, was learning this type of stuff. But the problem is, once I got out of school and I started reading on my own, listening to podcasts on my own, I was hearing the opposite of this. So I thought, maybe I should try the opposite. You know what happened? A lot more energy, lost a bunch of weight that I didn't know I had to lose, and just lot less inflammation. I used to have chronic shoulder issues, not anymore. Just so many just little health things. Like, I thought I was close to 100% and I was just gonna have to deal with this stuff for the rest of my life. No, I didn't even know what 100% was. I was maybe at 70%, like, at best, living off of, like, this type of diet. Like, I was eating what I thought was good food.
Me too.
But no, now I switched up and do pretty much the complete opposite of this diet. And I'm so much happier, so much healthier. Just every single marker that I can think of is better.
Yeah, we admit that we were wrong. Because as far as both of our lives, our families and the people around us, we're kind of the people they go to for nutrition advice. We have been our whole lives. And 10 years ago, we did promote chicken breasts, broccoli, oatmeal. That was the go-to things. But we learned, and now we admit that we were wrong. And now we promote something better. It's just that these people, because it's not about science, this is an ideology, this is a faith, they can't admit they were wrong. That's a problem.
Well, and to admit that they were wrong is they would have to get rid of, like, their entire food empire.
And again, that goes back to my point earlier, that back in the day, maybe they had good intentions. But now that they're making money hand over fist, they have to just keep pushing this pedal to the metal until the wheels fall off.
I don't understand why we keep reinforcing this same bad message. Because there was another thing that happened in our history. When we did the prohibition of alcohol, we figured out, oh, hey, this was a bad idea. It didn't last very long, maybe a decade. And then we're like, okay, people can drink alcohol again. They had a major, major influence on the prohibition of alcohol. But we admitted that we were wrong, and we went back on it. We had 10-year experience. Where, hey, this wasn't such a good idea. Now we've been doing this for over 100 years, and we still can't be like, oh, hey, these food guidelines, it was a bad idea. We keep trying to, we rename it, we went through the food pyramid, now it's My Plate. I think in 2020, we're supposed to be coming out with something else. God, if Trump is the one who's in charge of that, it's probably going to be McDonald's and KFC for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, who knows?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the same message over and over again. Whole grains is the way to go. Don't eat meat. Meat is bad. And yeah, just eat cereal for every meal out of the day.
So our take home message today, stop eating cereal. If you're thinking your healthy granola bar is like a good choice for your breakfast, it's not.
If it says heart healthy on it, it's not.
It ain't heart healthy. If it has a little AHA stamp on it, throw it away. All right, we think we finally covered most of this, even though that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think eventually we'll do another episode on this. We both know a little bit more.
Yeah, this is a pretty big rabbit hole. Like, we can go pretty deep with this stuff, but I don't really want to give it too much time of day. And I think if we do a really deep dive, we might sound crazy and we might lose all our listeners.
Yes. And well, honestly, we'll probably feel crazy because I feel crazy just reading about this stuff. But as far as the tip of the week this week, I was thinking just to promote reading. I'm a huge reader myself. I think this year I've read something like 17 or 18 books, and it's almost a lost art form. Everyone watches TV nowadays, or, you know, movies, plays video games. Nobody reads. So if you have the time, get in a quiet space, get in a comfy chair, read a good book, preferably about nutrition. That's what I read about, at least. And get through a few chapters this week.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, most people do watch TV, and Netflix is the major source that everybody gets their programming from. Unfortunately, most of the documentaries about health are by this church. So, Forks Over Knives, Cowspiracy, pretty much anything promoting that vegetarian diet is going to have its roots back to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So try and spread out your resources a little bit more. In today's world, we have so much free information. There are thousands and thousands of podcasts out there. Try and get information from both sides, and you should be able to just see what makes sense to you. And you can always try it out yourself. Everybody has a body. Everybody eats food. So eat one food, see how you feel. Eat another food, see how you feel. See what works better for you. We did. It worked for both of us. We did complete 180s.
Complete 180s. Yeah, that's a great point. Again, you can find us at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. Any questions, you can email them in to tntwellnessandnutrition@gmail.com. And we're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anywhere the social media is, you can reach out and get in contact with us.
Yeah, we also have a YouTube page. We're trying to put more and more videos on there all the time. Our logo is a blue heart with a flexing bicep. Look for us there. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.